You've heard the word of the Lord. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. In the name of Christ, our King, our Creator, my dear fellow Christians, praising the Lord today. He does it all so naturally. The rain comes down, the seeds begin to sprout, the earth is warmed by the sun, and year after year, seeds that we mostly don't even see begin to sprout and grow the plants that look like their parent plants. As generation after generation of living things, each is recreated by God according to its kind. The eggs are hatched, the little birds spread their wings and fly, and he who feeds the birds and clothes the grass of the field is our Father in heaven, who reminds us by these beautiful lessons in nature. He cares for you. Are you not worth much more than the birds of the air or the plants of the field? Your heavenly Father cares for them. He cares for you. It's just that he does it so constantly that this mind of ours, so earthbound as it is, these eyes that are still blind, just start to think that this is just happening automatically. You've heard of autoimmune disease, the idea that somehow our bodies just automatically fight off disease. Not true. We finally realize it's not true when the wind blows too hard, or the rain falls too abundantly, or the sun is scorching in its heat. And then we realize we're in the care of our Creator. And in his grace, we hear him calling again, "Come to me, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me." And so all that calling of all those centuries by God through the prophets to remind people these things don't just happen by themselves. This is your loving Creator causing it to happen and blessing it and blessing you through his creation. You are his creation, created again by faith in Jesus, by grace through faith to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. And all those promises over all those centuries that God kept on repeating, the Creator finally comes in victory, but not as at all the way you would expect. He comes lowly. Lowly. The four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all report this Palm Sunday coming of our Lord. In the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the ones that look with the same optics, the same eyes, they're inspired by the Holy Spirit especially to emphasize how lowly he comes. He's looking not even for the adult animal, because it's not going to be a prancing steed or a white stallion that brings the king into town. He's going to come as the Creator on a lowly beast of burden, and not even the adult, the colt, the little one, will carry the Creator. Everything in this account keeps on showing him to be lowly, as the Lord had commanded his king should be of Israel. Back when the law was given through Moses at Mount Sinai, the Lord was anticipating the people would ask for a king. And he said that the king was supposed to have this lowly, humble attitude over God's people. Each king was supposed to hand copy his own personal copy of Moses' law, to read it constantly, to keep it close to him, so that he would never get this attitude that he was somehow better than the people. Because those kings of ancient Israel were supposed to be showing what the King of Glory would be like when he would come lowly in this deep humility and then send his holy apostle and say, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. He emptied himself of his pomp, his glory, his power in heaven, and came as the lowly creator to serve, to bless, to help. He came looking for, sent his disciples to find this colt on which no one had ever ridden, and then to tell the owners, the Lord needs it. Think about that. He's the creator. Do you know how Palm Sunday could have gone? He can make anything he wants. So what if the creator, in coming to town, wants to come in a limousine? They weren't invented yet. I know. He could make one. He could make his own limousine and come with the loudspeakers blaring like some third world ruler, making everybody bow down to him. And if the streets were too narrow in those ancient cities, he has the power to make a wide way. The name Jesus means the wide way maker. He split the Red Sea, or the Red Sea, so that the people could go over on dry ground. He did the same to the Jordan River. He can make a limousine. He can drive into town. He can come in pomp and majesty. But the Creator comes in need. Why? He makes everything. He gives us all we have, our life, our breath, our eternal soul. None of the animals have this sense of consciousness, this sense of God, this ability to be in communion with God, if only that barrier of sin can be removed, that rebellion of ours that we inherit all the way back to our first parents. This eternal soul in this created body to be the crown of God's creation. He always had in mind a personal relationship with every single one of us. Almighty, infinite, awesome God the Creator wants a personal relationship with you. You can see this in his plan as he lays it out all the way back from eternity, planning this good news, this salvation that would cost him his very life. The miracle of the virgin birth, the incarnation, the taking on of a human body by God Almighty. Awesome miracles all along that he makes look so natural. But the Lord needs it. He puts himself in a position of need to have a personal relationship with those to whom he gives everything. What does the Lord need that he has given you? Is it your time? Is it your talent? Is it your treasure? He can do all his work without us. He does not need me. He doesn't need you. This congregation or our Wisconsin Synod doesn't need any of that. He could do all his work on his own. But in his great mercy, he calls us. He sends his disciples. The Lord needs it. They knew who the Lord was because they responded in faith by letting not one expensive animal, but both the mother and the colt go with the Lord's disciples because the Lord needs it. He comes lowly, but don't let that fool you. He also comes in power. There are some who maybe think that this is no big deal that he got on the donkey's colt. I would just, in fact, you know, I'd give you a bus ticket out west to some cowboys I know out there and let you just try this once on a colt. We'll see how long you stay on that animal. It's not just that the animal had never been ridden, so he's going to buck and kick and get rid of whatever weight is on his back. It's that the mother is there too. There's this whole dynamic of the relationship between that mother donkey and her colt, and you just don't do this unless you are the powerful creator. He comes without a word. The creature carries the creator, who in humility still comes in power, all hidden under the humility of the awesome Christ. He comes, they find it just as he told them they would. Do you notice this from the Holy Scriptures too? The God of the Bible, God Almighty, does not just report history. He makes history. He makes history his story, because he causes things to happen, as he did on the very first Sunday, when the word of God from the Father's mouth, "Let there be light," created light. In the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh. The Word came on Palm Sunday in lowliness and power, to not just report what they would find, but to make that happen the same way when they got there. The Lord needs it. That was enough. Just as he told them, so it happened. See, our problem as human beings is that even though we may know this, even as Christians, we know that he's so powerful, there's something in every human heart that wants to have this peace and prosperity. It's just part of the way we are wired. We desire these things. But we tend to believe the lies, as our first parents did. The lies of that old serpent from hell about you be the master of your own destiny. You decide what's going to happen. Or we listen as Mark Zarling, the president at MLC, said, these hawkers of heretical worldviews. The false teachers, hawkers of heretical worldviews. They're always trying to get people to follow them and to support them with lies. It's all about you. All about you, and forget about God. The Savior isn't mentioned. The sin is not pointed out. The repentance never comes. If sin is not as bad as we think it is, if sin is just little white lies and no big deal, why did it take the life and death of God's own Son to remove it? But the lies out there are basically, one, you've got to do something to get God back right with you, or you right back with God. There's got to be some way. The human mind is always trying to think of some way to add to what Jesus did, as if God needs us to save ourselves. Yet the Lord, our righteousness, shows us in Scripture that the arrow points down. Paul calls this the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith, that's received by faith. The righteousness that we are to respond with is after all this happens. We weren't even born yet. We weren't even there to think or feel or say or confess anything when Christ went through all this, this suffering, this coming in lowliness and coming with power to be our Savior. Trying to add to the salvation that he brings is like somebody taking a brand new Mercedes. You watch your neighbor drive the car home. There he is. Wow, beautiful car. He gets out some sandpaper and starts rubbing on the hood, and then starts adding colors of his choice. Are you kidding me? That's work righteousness. That's the woman with the beautiful diamond or the ruby ring and somebody taking some varnish and covering it with varnish. Why would you do that? The human mind is so perverted, and this is still stuck in our souls too, that somehow we have to contribute to what God has done. They didn't do that on that first day. We have every reason instead to pray, Lord, forgive us for these sins. Forgive me for the times that I so arrogantly want to rely on my position or my savvy or my wisdom or whatever works it is in me. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for the times when I want to put my confidence in my wealth or my health or somehow in these possessions which are all passing away. I dishonor my God with my sin and my attitude. God, forgive us for our sins. That's really what they were saying when he came in as the lowly, powerful creator. And the children were singing, and the passion crowds that had come for the Passover meal that were in town, and those who had come with him from Galilee, these two crowds met, some following Jesus in and some coming out, and all praising him and using this Hebrew word, Hosanna. It means save us now. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the saving name of God, the reputation of God as the Savior God. Hosanna to him. Save us, Lord. Blessed is he who comes in that name. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Great David's greater son is here, 1,000 years after the prophecies to David. And of this son, the Lord had promised all those years before that he would reign on David's throne and that his kingdom would continue to grow and increase. And every time another sin-dead soul turns back to the Lord, when a baby is baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works faith there, when we turn away from our own righteousness and turn to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we worship him, Hosanna! His kingdom expands and grows in this heart of hearts where he wants to rule, because the Creator wants a personal relationship with every creature. If you were the only sinner in the whole wide world, Jesus would have come to die for you. He doesn't give you part of his love. He gives you all of his love. I don't know how that's even possible, except that he's infinite. He gives you everything, all you need. Grace and mercy and peace. Hosanna in the highest. When Luke reports this, he says, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Does that remind you of something in Luke chapter 2? Outside of Bethlehem that night that the Savior was born, when the Creator took on flesh and blood and was born of the Virgin Mary, and the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. It was happening, all coming true, because the God who knows the beating of our hearts and all that we need wanted to take away our worries and our cares. And so in 1 Peter, he says we are shielded by God's power, protected from the enemies of our souls, like that roaring lion going around and looking for someone to devour. The one the Lord says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. You know that your brothers throughout the world are going through the same kind of suffering. You feel like your suffering is unique to you, but it's happening throughout the world. Christ, I suffer here with thee. There, O share thy joy with me. We are co-heirs with Christ if we share in his suffering here. But we're shielded from God's power, and we're shielded safe also from an accusing conscience. Because whether it's my pride, my arrogance, my conceit, my worry, my materialism, my anger, my impatience, whatever sin is there and constantly coming up again in this sinful heart, the Lord keeps on forgiving. Day by day, as surely as parents clean up the little kid that keeps messing himself, you don't throw the baby away. You clean up the baby. God cleans us up. Cleans us up and sanctifies us as we remember our baptism, where that word-powered water was put on us and our sins were washed away. He sanctifies us day by day in his grace and mercy so that we can have that confidence that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. When God says all, he means all. when you put your confidence in Christ, you never have to doubt again whether heaven will be wide open to you or whether you can go to heaven when you die. It's an absolute surety, and God wants every soul sure simply by trusting in Jesus as Lord and Savior. I go to prepare a place for you, he says to his disciples this Thursday coming during Holy Week. All these earthly possessions that are passing away, don't worry about it. Let it be gone. Look forward to the great mansions in heaven as the Lord has promised. The eternal possessions that moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves can't break in and steal. We're standing on the edge of Holy Week. This week we follow our Savior in his passion. This week comes the three holy days of Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. When we get to follow our Lord Jesus in his suffering for our sins, how he took our place under the wrath of God so that all of that could be gone and we could once more be restored to our Creator in a right relationship with God, in that peace that surpasses all understanding, that peace that guards our hearts and minds. Follow Jesus in his passion, and the dear Holy Spirit will help you live up to what you've already attained. And his passion then becomes our passion, to love him and serve our neighbor as our great and awesome King has served us, coming lowly, coming powerful, coming to save. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.